Have I forgotten the cross, my Lord, when I carry not my own?
Hello, Pastor Brandon here for our daily readings for Thursday, March 26, 2020. Today, we're going to be digging into Psalm 39, 7 through 13, Exodus 31, 12 through 32, 29, and Matthew 26, 36 through 46. Psalm 39, 7 through 13 says, "And now, O Lord, for what do I wait? My hope is in you. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Do not make me the scorn of the fool. I am mute. Do not open my mouth, for it is you who have done it. Remove your stroke from me. I am spent by the hostility of your hand. When I discipline a man with rebukes for sin, you consume like a moth what is dear to him. Surely all mankind is a mere breath. Selah. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry. Hold not your peace at my tears, for I am a sojourner with you, a guest like all my fathers. Look away from me that I may smile again before I depart, and I am no more." Exodus 31, 12, 32 through 29. "And the Lord said to Moses, you are to speak to the people of Israel and say, above all, you shall keep my Sabbath. For this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord. Sanctify you. You shall keep the Sabbath because it is holy for you. Everyone who profanes it shall be put to death. Whoever does any work on it, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of solemn rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day shall be put to death. Therefore, the people of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, observing the Sabbath throughout their generations as a covenant forever. It is a sign forever between me and the people of Israel, that in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And he gave to Moses, when he had finished speaking with him on Mount Sinai, the two tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone written with the finger of God. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered themselves together to Aaron and said to him, 'Up, make us gods who shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has happened to him.' So Aaron said to them, 'Take off the gold rings that are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me.' So all the people took off the gold rings that were in the ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hands and fashioned it with a graving tool and made a golden calf. And they said, 'These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt.' When Aaron saw this, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, 'Tomorrow shall be a feast to the Lord.' And they rose up early the next day and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said to Moses, 'Go down, for your people whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way that I commanded them. They have made for themselves a golden calf and have worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt." And the Lord said to Moses, "I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now, therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them, in order that I may make a great nation of you. But Moses implored the Lord his God and said, O Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, with evil intent did he bring them out to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from your burning anger and relent from this disaster against your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by your own self and said to them, I will multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven. In all this land that I have promised, I will give to your offspring, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord relented from disaster that he had spoken of bringing on his people. Then Moses turned and went down from the mountain with the two tablets of the testimony in his hands, tablets that were written on both sides. On the front and back they were written. The tablets were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God engraved on the tablets. When Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said to Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp. But he said, it is not the sound or shouting of for victory, or the sound of the cry of defeat, but the sound of singing that I hear. And as soon as he came near the camp, he saw the calf and the dancing. Moses' anger burned hot, and he threw the tablets out of his hand and broke them at the foot of the mountain. He took the calf that they had made and burned it with fire and ground it to powder and scattered it on the water and made the people of Israel drink it. And Moses said to Aaron, what did this people do to you that you have brought such a great sin upon them? And Aaron said, let not the anger of the Lord burn hot. You know the people, that they are set on evil. For they said to me, make us gods who shall go before us. As for this, Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. So I said to them, let any who have gold take it off. So they gave it to me, and I threw it into the fire, and out came this calf. And when Moses saw that the people had broken loose, for Aaron had let them break loose to the derision of their enemies, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Come to me. And all the sons of Levi gathered around him. And he said to them, thus says the Lord God of Israel, put your swords on your side, each of you, and go to and fro from gate to gate throughout the camp. And each of you kill his brother and his companion and his neighbor. And the sons of Levi did according to the word of Moses. And that day about 3,000 men of the people fell. And Moses said, today you have been ordained for the service of the Lord, each one at the cost of his son and his brother, so that he might bestow a blessing upon you this day. Matthew 26:36-46. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. And talking with him, Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me. And going a little further, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, so could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done. And again, he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words again. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, Sleep and take your rest later on. See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let's be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. I would like to turn back to our passage in Exodus, and in particular, I would like to talk about this incident with the golden calf, because it could leave many people scratching their heads, wondering, what is going on here? What is happening here? And there's an article on gotquestions.org that I'd like to share that I believe explains this very well. The people of the Middle East were very religious, but they also worshipped many gods. The 10 plagues God brought on the Egyptians were judgments against specific gods they worshipped and showed that the Lord was greater than all of them. Even Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, who was the priest of Midian and a worshiper of the true God, was impacted by the religious pluralism of the people around him, as in he was impacted by all the worshiping of false idols and false gods around him. When Moses and the people arrived at Mount Sinai, and Jethro heard of all the works of God, he replied, Now I know the Lord is greater than all gods, because in this affair they dealt arrogantly with the people, it says in Exodus 18:11. When God gave his laws to the Israelites, he began by addressing this religious pluralism. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is of the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, and am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me. This is Exodus 22-5. And God spoke this to the people. This isn't part of the article, this is extra, but God audibly spoke that command to the people. And we need to understand that God spoke this. The people all heard God say this. The article continues, While Moses was up on the mountain receiving God's laws, the people were getting anxious down in the plain. Moses spent 40 days, Exodus 24:18 says this, up on the mountain with God. And by the end of that time, the people were beginning to think Moses had died or left them. The people urged Aaron, their temporary leader, to make gods for them to follow, since they were accustomed to having a visual representation of gods. This was the natural but sinful result of their thinking. Aaron took their gold earrings, which they had brought from Egypt, and melted them down to make a golden idol. The idol he crafted for them was a calf, but Aaron maintained the name of the Lord in connection with it in Exodus 32:5. He was merging the pagan practices they were familiar with and the worship of the God they were just beginning to be reacquainted with. Aaron called the people together and told them that the golden calf was the God who delivered them from Egypt. The people offered sacrifices and then engaged in pagan rituals, including orgies, Exodus 32:25, to worship this new God. So why did Aaron do this? Scripture doesn't give us the full answer, but we can put certain clues together and get a fairly good picture. First, the people's long familiarity with idol worship would incline them to follow this method. Also, they were already in the habit of merging their beliefs with those of the people around them and practice them no matter whether they considered them true or untrue. Aaron was faced with an unruly crowd that placed a demand on him. The solution of making an idol and calling it by God's name seemed fairly reasonable. This is an important question that this article addresses. Why does he choose a calf or a bull? His lame excuse to Moses, it just came out of the fire like this. You gotta just love that. That is an excuse of excuses. It says he fashioned it with a graving tool in 32:4 and took great care to form it that way. Some have tried to show that the bull represented one of the gods of Egypt, but that doesn't fit the text because Aaron called a feast to the Lord, Yahweh, and said that it was the gods which brought them out of the land of Egypt. The bull was a symbol of strength and fertility, and the people were already familiar with bull gods from Egypt. Bulls were also typically animals of sacrifice, so to use their image as a symbol of the god being worshipped was a natural connection. Aaron's bull was a mixture of the powerful God who delivered the people through mighty works and the pagan methods of worship that were borrowed from the people around them. Even though there are reasonable explanations for why Aaron and the people begin to worship the golden calf, those explanations did not excuse the sin. God certainly held the people accountable for their corruption and was ready to destroy them for their sin. Moses personally intercedes on behalf of his people, and it saves them. Moses indicated that Aaron at least should have known that his actions were sinful and didn't let him off the hook. As with any other sin, the punishment is death, and the only proper response is repentance. Moses called for those who were on the Lord's side to come stand with him. The Levites stood with him and were commanded to go through the camp and kill anyone who persisted in the idolatry. The next day, Moses went up and confessed the people's sins before God. And this is where we're going to get into here in a little bit. We're going to get into this tomorrow. Asking for his forgiveness. God declared that the guilty ones would yet pay with their own deaths and be blotted out of his book. These were the same ones who, on the verge of entering the promised land, would deny God's promises and be sent into the wilderness to die for their sins. Their children would be the ones to receive God's promised blessings. And here is the kicker point to this entire article and the reason that I'm reading it. Their experiences are a lesson for us today. Even though we might justify our actions through reason or logic, if we are violating God's clear commands, we are sinning against him, and he will hold us accountable for those sins. God is not to be worshipped with images because any image we make will draw more attention to the work of our hands than the God who made all things. Also, there is no way we can fully represent the holiness and awesomeness of God through an image. To attempt to do so will always fall short. On top of this, God is spirit, and we cannot form an image of a spirit. We worship God by believing his word, obeying it, and declaring his greatness to others. I just love how this author writes, their experience is a lesson for us today. Even though we might justify our actions through reason or logic, if we are violating God's clear commands, we are sinning against him. And it's important for us to remember that God has given us clear commands. Let's not try to take the fruit from the tree again. Rather, let's rejoice in the fact that we have this great salvation in Jesus Christ, that we don't have to try to define morality because God has defined morality. God has given us his spirit to help us define morality. Let's listen to him, the creator of all things, before we ever once again try to take it into our own hands. Because as we see throughout the book of Genesis and so far through the book of Exodus, when we take morality into our own hands, when we try to decide good and evil in ourselves, we make a mess of things. This is the word of the Lord, and the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord remains forever. Amen and amen.